Greetings, and welcome to this educational program. This is Michael Podolinsky, and on this side of the cassette, we are discussing delegation. Unfortunately, most supervisors and managers never delegate. Instead, they do one of two things. They either don't attempt to delegate, or they merely dump. Those who don't attempt to delegate have a myriad number of excuses.
Oh, I don't have anyone to delegate to.
I can do it faster myself.
I can do it better myself.
No one knows how to do this job like I do. Sometimes a job task or activity, which should be delegated, is merely a favorite of the person refusing to delegate it. It is easy to develop pet projects and assignments. Sometimes we hang on to them because they are high visibility and we hope to get recognition from completing them or enjoy the praise of those we do the work for. Whatever the reason, none of us will ever truly reach our peak as professionals unless we find others to take over the duties we have either outgrown, or that we are not best equipped to handle, or that we could pay or assign someone else to do. This would free us up to do more productive things with our time. Now, dumpers, on the other hand, need to know that giving people more work to do is neither a reward or a guarantee the work will get completed as we expect. Delegation differs from dumping in three major ways. First, when we delegate, we have consensus and acceptance on the part of the one receiving the delegation. Not always true with dumping. This is important as it impacts the individual's motivation as well as the quality of the work they will do. Second, we verify the viability of the assignment and mutually agree upon the completion time and a format with which to judge the successful completion of the project delegated. This is critical to getting the job done right the first time. Finally, by truly delegating, we have thought the project through well enough to know what is expected, what the person's reactions might be, anticipating possible problems, and taking the time to pre-plan for possible contingencies. This is all done before giving the assignment to someone else. By us taking the little extra time in preparation prior to delegation, we are prepared to help the person or persons we are delegating to, and we will have a more realistic idea of how long, how involved, and how difficult the project will be for that person or persons. Simply put, delegation is the prepared and agreed upon assignment of tasks or activities, while dumping is merely assigning tasks to others we choose not to do ourselves. Let's now look at the proper way to delegate tasks, activities, projects, and assignments. There are five essential steps to delegation. Number one is to tell. Two is to feedback. Three is relating to deadlines. Four is follow-up. Five is reward. The first step is telling the person what we want them to do. I can remember back in my early school days, they had shifted from what was called old math to new math. In the old math, they gave you the formula, you plugged in the numbers, and you came up with an answer. It was pretty simple and straightforward, but nobody really understood why we had this particular formula. We just knew that it worked. Then they came along with this new math concept. They had us derivating problems and figuring out all this complex stuff you'd spend an entire day working on an assignment and then come up with an answer. Having done that, they'd say, now, use this formula, plug the numbers in, and you get the answer. And all the kids said, well, why didn't you give us the stupid formula in the first place? Well, the reason was the teachers wanted us to learn how we got to this particular conclusion to get us to be able to think about the process. Well, the same thing is true when we truly delegate to somebody. We need to give them the entire reason why we are doing something, how it fits into the entire project, and why their part of the assignment is so important. If they truly understand how something is done and why it's done, they will begin to innovate, to change, to modify, to do it more productively. At the very least, they can begin to do it with a sense of pride. If we don't understand why something is being done, we typically do it out of rote, with less enthusiasm, and less responsibility for changing, modifying, or improving the process. The second step is getting feedback from the person we've just delegated to. Have you ever told somebody to do something and they did something other than what you told them to do because what they were thinking about was not what you were sharing with them because their thoughts were on something else other than what you wanted them to be thinking about? That's confusing. Well, it's confusing when we share information with people and we don't have what's called a meeting of the minds. To guarantee that we have a meeting of the minds, we need to get feedback from that person. That means the onus of responsibility and communication rests upon us. We need to ask them if they truly understood what it is that we asked them to do. Now, if you've asked somebody, did you truly understand what it is I asked you to do? Typically, out of habit, they say something like, oh, yeah, sure, I do, or yes, I did, or I understood it thoroughly, or don't worry about it, I got it. But do they truly understand? Probably not. Let's say, for example, you ask somebody to do A, B, and Z by 3:15 tomorrow afternoon. Having done that, you come back to them and say, now, to make sure I communicated myself effectively, what did I just ask you to do, please? Having done this exercise with thousands of people over the years, I've only found 6 people that have gotten it right the first time when I asked them what it was I just asked them to do. I get things like, well, I'd like you to do A, B through Z by tomorrow afternoon. Or I get A, B, and Z by tomorrow afternoon. Or I get A, B, and Z by 3:15 sometime this week. Typically, there's one element that's missing. By saying, to make sure I communicate myself effectively, I take the burden of responsibility, the onus of that responsibility for communication upon myself. You don't have to make the other person feel foolish by them not understanding. Never certainly attack them by saying, did you understand what I asked you to do? No, we take the responsibility upon ourselves. By getting this kind of feedback, we find out if there's a meeting of the minds. Now, let's say, for example, there's a piece of the puzzle missing. They say, I want to do A, B, and Z by tomorrow afternoon, and they left out the exact time as being 3:15. Well, here's where you can say, I can see where I haven't thoroughly communicated myself yet. What I really wanted you to do was A, B, and Z by 3:15 tomorrow afternoon. Now, to make sure again that I'm communicating myself effectively, what did I just ask you to do, please? They come back and now say A, B, and Z by 3:15 tomorrow afternoon. We truly have communication taken place. They will now understand the assignment and chances are we'll do the assignment correctly. Feedback is an incredibly important principle in the delegation process. Number one, we have to tell them the entire story. 2, get feedback. And 3, set specific deadlines. Without specific deadlines, delegation really doesn't take place. You see, when you tell people, I want it done right away, to some people, right away means within the same decade. We need to know exactly what time, and the more specific we are, the greater the likelihood they'll actually do it at that time. It's important to know then how to accept delegation as well as how to give it with regards to deadlines. Your boss comes to you and says, yes, I'd like this done by Friday. And you're thinking, oh, I got so much to do. How am I going to ever get it done? I'm so busy all week. Ah, but I do have Friday morning available. Yeah, I could do it between 9 and 10. I'll do a little added processing to it by 11, get at the secretarial pool by 12. After lunch, they get back, 2 o'clock, proofread it, revisions. I could get it to the boss by 3. Okay, yes, I can get it done by 3 o'clock, and we're all excited. Now, 8 o'clock, Friday morning, the boss comes in, says, where's the project? Say, well, I'll have it to you by 3. Boss says, 3 o'clock! I need it for a board meeting in an hour! Now, who looks foolish? Well, we do to our boss, and our boss does to the board. Here's where something is delegated to us. We have to make sure that we feed back to the person delegating to understand what the deadline is. Before the person leaves, say, wait, I'd just like to ask you to make sure I'm understanding this project correctly. What time do I need to have this project done by? Now, boss says, well, I need it by 9 o'clock, or I need it by 8 o'clock. You say, ooh, try this. Go, ooh. Yeah, one more time. Ooh, ooh, yeah, that's exactly what we got to do. Ooh, I'd love to get it done for you by then, but here's the problem that I'm running into. I've got this project and this project and this project. Now, in order to complete it in time, I either have to have someone else take over one of these projects, or I have to maybe get some assistance with this. Maybe you want to delegate this to someone else. I'll do whatever it takes. But within this deadline, I can't quite cope. You see, it's okay to negotiate with deadlines as well. Deadlines are critical to getting the job done on time. If people understand the deadlines, then chances are we can have good delegation. Number one, we have to tell them the entire picture. Two, get feedback. Three, set specific deadlines. And four, follow up. Here's probably the number one place where managers don't delegate effectively. We don't follow up or don't have a follow-up system. With computers now, it's getting easier to have the computer remind us about follow-up. But if you don't have it up and running on your computer, there are other ways of doing it. You may want to take a three-part carbonless form. And when you delegate something, write down specifically on the form what you want the person you're delegating to accomplish. As you hand them the project, you tear off one copy for yourself as a reminder to yourself of what you've delegated. You give the other two parts to the person who's to do the work. In my office, if I give it to the office manager, she may choose to do it herself, in which case, upon completion, she'll tear the form apart and give one part back to me and keep one as a permanent record. If she chooses to delegate it to a secretary or an outside source, we'll tear it apart, give one copy to the outside source or secretary, and keep one part for herself as a way of monitoring the delegation. One writing, then, has now delegated to two different people. The idea is you need to have a follow-up system. One way of systematizing this that I've seen work is a clipboard simply with lines on it. And you write down in each line something that you've delegated, and at the end of it, the time you need to follow up on it or the time it's to be completed, the deadline. Simply taking and redlining through those tasks that are done, you now have a running list in front of you of the things that you've delegated and a way of monitoring and following up by checking it periodically to see if the tasks are in fact completed. The timing on follow-up is critical as well. Let's say hypothetically you've got a two-month-long project, and this two-month-long project has to be done. It's very important. It's critical. When do you follow?